Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Welcome to Revive. Welcome to Revive. Hey, what's up? Wake up, wake up, wake up. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC, live on these winning Sunday airwaves, man. Make sure you guys stay tuned to the Revive platform. Spread the word, spread the message that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can go directly to tune in. You can download the app or just go to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. You hit me every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and every winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So make sure you guys spread the word and spread that message. Also, follow us on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC. We are live tweeting and live posting every time we get on the airwaves, and we want you guys to stay in the loop. So make sure you guys follow us on both of the timelines at Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. Shout out to Harmony, the goddess, for holding us down today in the studio, as well as True Heart, who's on the road, who is still holding us down by far. I'm extremely excited. The team is growing in numbers. Shout out to Tyler Avenia for holding us down as well as Keith Taylor, man. I'm extremely excited to have him on today. We'll be talking politics and the subjects that he's going to bring, the topics that he's going to bring to the airwaves today needs to be heard. You know, someone needs to listen to what Keith is going to bring to these airwaves today, because I know he's going to educate and re-educate the people each and every time he gets on the airwaves. So I'm extremely excited about this link up between me and TLS Politics, man. I know that this is going to be extremely, extremely informative for our listeners and our audience, because, you know, they're looking for that news. They're looking for the news. They're looking for the facts. They're looking for information, but they're tired of getting falsified information. They're tired of getting fake news. They're tired of, you know, people telling them this is what it is when it's really not that. So that's why we are bringing Keith and the Left Side Politics onto the Revive platform, so we can educate you guys in a way that you will understand, in a way that you can, you know, break it down so you can tell the next you know, friend or coworker what you have learned. And especially if you learned it from the Revive platform, make sure you tweet us and add us, you know what I mean? Get a little Revive hashtag going, definitely, because we want to keep this Revive platform alive as well as TLS. So make sure you guys follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at TLS_politics. Make sure you guys follow them and the flyers out there on both of our Facebook and Twitter handles as well. So make sure you guys go do that. Shout out to September, man. It's September. Do you remember? Hey, I was about to get it done. Right. All the time. It's September. Yes. Shout out to September, man. September is a blessing for me already. I'm extremely excited about September. On September 1st, I had the opportunity of just breathing new air. I had the opportunity of just, you know, stopping and saying thank you. But at the same time, it was hectic all on the other side of the mountain. You know what I'm saying? On this side of the mountain, I was good. I was breathing fresh air. I was smiling. I was like, yes, opportunity, growth, change. I'm with it. And then on that side of the mountain, it was like, yo, the devil's tapping at your door. What are you going to do? You know, how are you going to get through this one? And that's exactly what I did. I got through that one. I kicked down that door, and I'm extremely excited. So as of September 1st, Revive will now be broadcasting every Monday on Daily Grind Radio. So make sure you guys stay tuned to that. Revive will now be on two different stations. Time for an Awakening every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then every Monday we'll be broadcasting on Daily Grind Radio from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And that's when you will hear your girl Tyler Avenia on as well, when she will be doing her segment, What the Fact. I know that's going to be extremely excited too, because we're trying to bring some facts to these, you know, these airways. And that's what I was just talking about with Keith, because you never know what is which, you know. And I was I did a radio interview on Thursday, and one of the facts that I broke down to her was like, yo, this is one of the main reasons why we need this. Shout out to Lisa and everything that she's doing. Make sure you guys go follow her. I'm gonna put her information out so you guys can follow her and also listen to that interview that I did this past Thursday. But yeah, so we were discussing, we were having a conversation, and I was like, yo, did you know that, and Tyler actually put me onto this, did you know that the CEO of Whole Foods is the same CEO of Amazon? And that shocked the heck out of me. I didn't know that. And then what I did know about Amazon is the CEO of Amazon is the same CEO of the Washington Post. So I'm like, yo, this man out here getting money, and we don't even know this, that our money is circulating 3 times in his pocket, in his own pocket. You know what I mean? So it's so many different things that we need to know that we don't know. But, you know, it's our job to do that. That's why we're taking on this role of, you know, reviving the people every time we get on the airwaves. So that's what we're going to do with Tyler's segment, which is going to be called What the Fact. And you can catch that every Monday on Daily Grind Radio from 8:35 to 9 p.m. So make sure you guys stay tuned to that. I'm really excited about that as well. This September, this fall in general, is going to be a huge, huge game changer for Revive, because we're growing in so many different directions. I'm excited for the new team members as well as the new segments we have. And you cannot forget about the True Series. She's not able to do the True Series today. Shout out to Higher Level Communication and True Heart. She's not able to do the True Series today because she's on the road. She went to a wedding and she looked amazing. The wedding even looked amazing. So shout out to her friend who got married. I'm not sure the name of the bride, but your wedding looked amazing. I can't wait to my wedding one day so I can look like that too. So shout out to you. But yeah, the True Series will not be on today. So we're going to get a double dosage of Keith this month. We're going to get him this Sunday and next Sunday because I'm ready for this. You know, I love politics. I'm a politic buff, so I'm extremely excited for this. Yo, Harmony, how you feeling today? What's going on over there with you?
I'm feeling blessed and highly favored just to wake up another day and just, you know, just breathe a fresh breath of air. Like, it just feels great. And honestly, I'm just so excited about the things that are going to be coming forth with September and the rest of this year of 2017. So I'm definitely looking forward to, and I'm so happy about the new team members that's coming on Revive. It is definitely it's great to have them. So I'm feeling great. I'm feeling great.
I'm with you on that one, definitely. And today's show, we're going to be talking about back to school. We're going to be talking about back to school and how, you know, we can get the kids back into school in this right school year with the right mindset. You know, how we can get them in the right mindset going into the new school year. And today's guest is going to be incredible with that because of the amount of knowledge that they do. And they do it in such an innovative way, especially the Carter Link. I'm extremely excited to have the Carter Link on this Sunday because of the creativity that's coming from that family, that's coming from that link up. Today's show is entitled Lead, Learn, and Earn. We want to create leaders. We want to learn in every way we can. We want to be a sponge. I'm encouraging every student out there to be a sponge and soak up whatever kind of knowledge that you can soak up from any mentor, any teacher, any professor that may be out there. This is not just, I'm not just speaking to grade school. I'm also speaking to higher education. If you're in college, you're a freshman, sophomore, whatever it may be, even a senior, college senior, you need to be able to learn and be a sponge. Learn. Sometimes you got to close that mouth because you have to understand that God only gave us one mouth and two ears for a reason. So learning is important, but you also have to earn it all at the same time. You know what I mean? It's not going to be given to you. It's not something that, you know, you just wake up and say, oh, this is mine. It doesn't work like that. You got to go out there. You got to go get it. You got to max out and you got to earn it. And that's why we entitled today's show, Lead, Learn, and Earn, because if you have all three of those characteristics while you're learning or while you're going through the process of schooling, you will definitely be on top on your way out the door when you're done with school at the end of the day. So that's why we're talking about education today and Revive and getting the students back into school the right way, because, you know, it's important. I remember my first day of school. I remember my first day of school in grade school. I was nervous. You know what I mean? I was nervous. I don't think I was taught how to be a people's person. You know what I'm saying? I didn't think I was taught. I mean, that's not something that you're taught. I mean, it is somewhat, you know, your parents can teach you and instill different things into you to help you be able to mix in with different environments. And when you walk into different environments, you won't necessarily be, you know, it won't be unfamiliar to you. You know, you can walk in and you can be comfortable, and you also can be confident as you're walking into those different environments. So like there are students who, for example, their parents, have the money to send them other places to go to school, right? But they live in a certain neighborhood. So they live in a certain neighborhood, but where they go to school, it may be, you know, in a different neighborhood that they're not used to, in a different neighborhood that makes them uncomfortable, you know, because it doesn't look like their next door neighbors or their friends that they were just playing with all summer. So then you take me and you put me in this school. So now I'm uncomfortable in this environment. So that's why we want to teach, you know, we want to educate the youth of how to thrive in different uncomfortable situations. And that's what I speak about always, being uncomfortable and definitely being able to thrive in that uncomfortability. But I think that that's another outlook that we have to look at when it comes to, you know, schooling, you know, because a lot of students are either being bused to go to other schools that can help them further their education. And then a lot of students are just going to the school down the street that doesn't even have, you know, the resources or anything like that to help them learn to further their education. What about you? When you were in your first day of school, what was like one of the main things that were going through your mind? Mine was like, yo, who are these people? Because my mom, she had it. So she allowed us to go to, I don't even know how to explain it. She allowed us to tap into different environments, and that's how we were able to get our education. Even though we went to the schools up the street, it was the extracurricular activities that she put us in that helped us, you know, to get that knowledge or that gain that we was looking for.
So first, I want to start off with, it's a smell outside on the first day of school.
I agree, definitely.
Like, I get so excited. I get so excited. I was so excited to go to school on the first day. So that brought me so much excitement from the new beginnings that's coming forth, the people that I would meet, the things that I would learn and get into. I was in a lot of different activities and programs. I was very, very active, very, very active. So I was just definitely looking forward to the performances that was coming forth, and just different new beginnings. For me, I was a little nervous. I'm a very kind of introvert type of person, if I may. But so
we're not talking about you now. We're talking about you back in school. You've been in school in 10 years. You was not an introvert when you were in school. You were like personality. Don't be trying to shade the people nowadays.
I went to school with you. I was performing, doing things that I love to do. So it's a difference with communicating to people and then also joining into the activities.
I get you. I definitely get you. But I don't want you to be out here shading the people. You was not no introvert. I went to school with you. You were on, like you said, you were definitely active. So how can you be to yourself lonely if you, or not lonely, because not saying all introverts are lonely, but to themselves, if you were in everything? That just doesn't make sense. If you were in every activity, and I can remember you being in every activity, so how are you an introvert? That doesn't make sense. You got to explain that to the people, because I'm thinking what they thinking.
Well, it's two different things. When you are doing something that you love to do and you're empowering yourself, you're enjoying the activities that you're joining in, that's a total difference from performing. Like, Beyonce could be an amazing entertainer, but as a person, as a human being, she may be, you know, she likes to be to herself. She likes to kind of learn her own. I don't know how to explain it.
Blah. I ain't feeling that one. I definitely wasn't feeling that. And I want to know what you guys are thinking, though. Definitely. So when it comes to your first day of school or your first start of school, when you were, you know, entering a new school, or if you were entering college, whatever it may be, what is one of the first things that you were thinking on your first day of school? So that's the question of the day. What is one of the first things that you were thinking on your first day of school? Mine was like, yo, who are these people? Because like I said, I was put into an environment that did not look like the kids that I've been playing with all summer. So I'm like, yo, who are these people and why am I here and why am I not, you know, playing with my friend, or why am I not walking to the bus stop with my friends that I was just playing with all summer in the neighborhood? So that was my main question when I started going to school. But then I also think, because I did go to college, and my first day of college, the first thing I really thought was like, this is a big place. And if you ever go to Cheney is not even that big. Cheney's really small. The community is small. Even the class sizes are small. But when you're coming from high school, and the size of my high school, it wasn't big at all. So when you come to college just seems 10 times bigger on that first day of school. I'm like, yo, the class is up the top of the hill. I got to go to the right. I got to go to the left, whatever it may be, to get to that class. And I was just like, yo, this is a huge place. When you step foot on your college campus, how was it for you?
I was nervous. I started out at Johnson C. Smith in Charlotte, North Carolina. So it was totally a different atmosphere for me, because I'm from up north and down south is just totally different. But it was very welcoming, and I was like waving to my parents, like following the car as they're going out. I was a little nervous. I definitely was a little nervous, but I was just more so excited because just the whole environment, I was just
you know, ready for. I prayed about it, and I knew that I would be taken care of.
Definitely. College was one thing that I couldn't wait for because of the amount of freedom that I knew that I was going to be getting once I stepped on that college campus. And I knew that, you know, I was in charge of my own destiny. But I didn't know which way I wanted to go until I actually got out of college. But that's a whole nother story. But definitely, my first day at college was amazing. I went to freshman week. I went to freshman orientation. I did so many different things. And that actually helped me to get, you know, that got me where I needed to be. So when the first day of college started, I was a little bit more comfortable because of the freshman week and freshman orientation that helps you to get more, you know, familiar with the campus. And you actually meet your freshman class during that week. So that was exciting too. And then the different parties and the different events and the different clubs and the different organizations. And this was the first time, not the first time, but this was like the first time that I seen Greek life, like right here up front. Like I feel like I can reach out and touch it. So that was another thing that made me really excited because I went to an HBCU. Well, Cheney University is the first HBCU. I'm always going to shout that out. So like Greek life was huge on my campus. So, you know, being a freshman and seeing that is like, yo, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I want to do. This is an amazing feeling. So, yeah, my first day at college was like an experience that I don't think I would never forget because literally the first day there was a party. You know what I'm saying? There was a party and there were people and it was just outside, like the plots and everything. I would never forget that day. It was like everyone could not wait to get back to school. And I never had that feeling like, yo, I cannot wait to get back to school before. I never had that feeling. So that was my first day at college. It was like, yo, I can't wait to get here. I cannot wait to start. I want this to happen right now. Can summer end real quick so I can get on this campus? So definitely, yeah. What were you about to say, though?
No, I was just going to say definitely congratulations to the ones that are enrolling into school now and who already have started but are starting this week as well. So just congratulations to you and definitely keep your head up. And you're gonna do an amazing job this year.
Definitely. Thank you for that because I almost forgot. Shout out to all the freshmen, class of 2021. Oh my gosh. Yo, I work at a university, so it's scary. When I tell you it's scary because I know what I look like when I was in college and I know what the people who was on the campus looked like when they were in college. So to know that, you know, these kids look small, I mean, extremely small. I'm like, yo, what year were you guys born? He was like, I was born in March 1999. I was like, 1999? Oh, my gosh. Like, man, I can't even think. Like, when in 1999, what I was hopping off the porch in 1999. I ain't even going to hold you. I was doing so many different things in 1999 that I can't even fathom being born in that year. I'm a 90s baby still. Yes, don't get me wrong. But 1999, that's just crazy. That's a crazy one to me. But we do got a caller on the line. I think it's True Heart. Yo, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hello, hello, hello. Happy Revive Day.
Yo, what's
this
up,
is your girl, True Heart.
How you feeling today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling in. I was telling them that you went to a wedding, and that's why you're not here in the studio with us.
Yes, I did go to a wedding. My friend, Manette and Jorge, actually tied the knot, and it was a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. So that's why I'm not in the studio today. I was a bridesmaid, so I had to do bridesmaid duties, but it was a wonderful weekend.
I'm with it, definitely. So we're going to treat you like a regular caller today. We're going to treat you like one of the Revive callers. I'm extremely excited that you're on the airway. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. And the question of the day is, what was your one of the very first thoughts that you had on your first day of school?
One of the very first thoughts that I had, I was anxious, but I'm a people person. I just wanted to get out there and present my best self to everyone, but I was a little nervous about what do I say, what do I do. So it was the anxiousness, a little nervousness, but also just excitement as well. So just put all of those and wrap them all into one. Those were my feelings. But I got out there, I talked to a lot of people, did some things, and in regards to what year you're talking about, I know college is very anxiety filled because you're going into a new environment. But it's funny because I just started my graduate program on Wednesday and I felt the same way. I felt the same way of being anxious and nervous, but more so excited as well. Because you never know what you're about to get yourself into. So meeting new people, doing icebreakers and different things of that nature. So once you have one first day of school, everything else isn't really that much different.
That's not true, especially in college, man. As you're talking about college, I feel like your first semester can be amazing, and then you come back second semester and you slack off, and it's not the same experience, right?
Oh, definitely. But I'm not talking about semesters. I was talking about the feelings that we had. So, like, my feelings in regards to my undergrad career were a little bit of the same feelings that I had started my graduate program, but it was different because I was more confident and I was more comfortable because I already did school for 5 years. So now I'm just ready to hop in and do some more schooling. But I definitely agree with you in the sense that every semester can be different. But to all the students out there, you have the power to make your semester great. And just make sure you work hard first and all the play can come afterwards. You have to find that equal balance. Like my mentor always told me, keep the main thing, and you'll be successful.
Definitely. So my last question today for you, since you're not doing the truth series, you do have to give us some advice, though. What would be your piece of advice that you would give to someone who's listening to us right now, who's either starting college or just starting grade school in general? What would you give to them to help them finish this year strong, to start this year strong and finish strong all at the same time?
Definitely. I will go back to my last comment, essentially meaning keep the main thing, and what that means is just once you have an end goal in mind, once you have a vision in mind, nothing or anybody or nothing can stop that. So as long as you remain focused, you will get to that end goal. And trust the process. Trust the process. Whether you're starting kindergarten, whether you are entering for your first semester of college, you can't really see what you're going through, but every situation that you encounter is going to set you up for your long-term goals. So three things, breaking it down to three things. Make sure you keep the main thing your main thing, whether it's to graduate, start your own business, or whatever that may be. Make sure you keep the main thing. You stay focused. And the last but not least, always stay true to yourself. Do not cave in to peer pressure. Do not cave in to peer pressure. And you want to be, make sure that you have positive social connections. You're surrounding yourself with positive people. So they can pour into you, and you can take what they have. You know, you can take what they have, and essentially just make sure you're continuing to track your goals. So, but always stay true to yourself. Always stay true to yourself. If you're surrounded by people who are bringing you down, or you know, making space between left and right of your goals and not staying focused, then those aren't the people for you. You want to make sure that you have a positive network that's going to push you to the next level. So always stay true to yourself and never let anybody make you feel bad about being yourself and being true to who you are.
Perfect. That was a truth series right there. Definitely. Can we look forward to some Self-Care Sunday today?
Yes, Self-Care Sunday will be live at 5 p.m., so be sure to stay tuned. It will be a little bit of what I just said, but it'll also be talking about the process of self-discovery that I'm on, and essentially just making sure you finish 2017 off strong so you are prepared for the new year. But it will be letting you all in on my self-discovery process and how that's been going, so you be sure to stay tuned. And follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram and Facebook, and on Twitter at Higher Level Com, that's Higher Level COMM. If you do not want to miss what's coming up in the next few months, so stay tuned.
Definitely, and I appreciate that. And you forgot to drop the Gmail. Drop that Gmail so if anyone wants to reach out personally to get some, you know, life skills, coaching, or anything that may be, some motivation, because, you know, True Heart got the motivation for you. Make sure you guys send her an email. True Heart, what's your email?
You know, higherlevelcommunication.co@gmail.com. So, any emails, messages, you always slide in the DM. I'm very accessible. Not to speak bad words, I'm very, very accessible, and I'm very personable as well, so I would love to talk to you.
Yes, no doubt. And you also can catch the Truth Series here on Revive every first and third Sundays from 12:35 to 1 p.m. So make sure you guys stay tuned to the Truth Series every first and third Sunday from 12:35 to 1 p.m. Thank you, True Heart, for calling in, and I appreciate you. I'm always holding us down here on Revive.
Of course, of course. Have a great show, guys.
No doubt. And up next, we do have the Carter Link coming up on Revive. The Carter Link is a family who is changing the game when it comes to just the style of learning, how to adapt to different learning environments, and just how to be yourself all at the same time, where you're just, you know, being a scholar, while you're getting all A's, you know, how you're teaching your kids how to look for, look towards the truth and look forward to, towards the truth in themselves all at the same time. So I'm extremely excited to be having them on the show today, because that just the whole combination of just a family oriented business or the family oriented learning style is extremely exciting to me, because I love, you know, when things are gravitated through the center of a family. You know, people don't even understand what family structure is anymore. So for them to jump out there and make a huge impact, a killing, you know, with this song that they created. And he's actually a teacher. The father of the show is actually a teacher as well. So it's extremely exciting to know what they're doing out here and how they're making noise. I'm extremely excited about that. So up next, we do have the Carter Link coming up on the Revive platform. Make sure you guys stay tuned and follow us, because we are live posting and tweeting every show. Make sure you guys subscribe to that Revive newsletter. You can go to timeforanawakening.com/revive, and right there it'll be a big white subscribe button. If you scroll down, you'll be able to subscribe to that Revive newsletter. It comes out every first of the month, beginning of the week. Harmony will be dropping that this week, so make sure you guys stay tuned to that. You know what time it is. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Growing up, you learn that if you get good grades in high school and get a college degree, you will have your shot at the American dream. Unfortunately, that is no longer true. There are currently 20 million Americans attending college every year. 20 million students, 20 million different stories, one struggle, and one call to action. The current student loan debt crisis has now reached $1 trillion and continues to grow, $3,000 a second. 20 million students, all with the same problem, and yet so few are willing to stand against it. Will you?
Do you understand the true meaning of how money works and how someone may make money and manage their money? If you do, you know what financial literacy is. Financial literacy deals with managing money, how he or she can invest it, and how it is used to handle your everyday life expenses. So the next time you are applying for that credit card at your favorite store, or you are taking out student loans that you really don't need, make yourself aware of the risk you could be taking if you are not knowledgeable. It could haunt you for the rest of your life. For more information, visit financialeducatorscouncil.org.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey! It's your girl POC. And we are back on Revive. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message that we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. You can also go to tune in. You can either download the app or go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. You hit me each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Each and every winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We do have our very first guest coming up on the Revive platform today. I'm extremely excited to be talking with them because, like I said earlier, they have so much creativity coming from this one family, and they're doing it in so, you know, many different ways in a very, very innovative way. So I'm extremely excited to be talking with the Carterlings today. Yo, Harmony, who do we have coming up on the Revive platform?
I'm so excited to have the Carterlink to the Revive platform. The Carterlink is an ordinary family of four being used by an extraordinary God. Here we share our gifts, talents, and love in hopes of uplifting and inspiring others. We are always exploring, talking, or making music about our marriage, parenting, and different interests. The Carterlink has been featured by Vibe.com, Essence.com, and the Huffington Post, along with other numerous sites and blogs. Their videos have reached over 5 million people while being shared over 200,000 times on Facebook. They have done commercials, been featured on Right This Minute, and even have been booked for live performances. Welcome to the Revive platform, the Carterlink.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for having us.
I'm extremely excited to be talking with you guys. Yo, and I actually found you guys off the Huffington Post when they did you guys a showcase. And I watched the video, and I was just extremely excited. And your daughter that's in the video, the one that's talking about the A's and five for A's and four for B's. I mean, when she said that verse, I was like, oh, my gosh, we got to have them on the show. Which daughter is that?
So actually, on the video, I have my daughter and then I have my nieces. And so my daughter was the one rapping, and my nieces, they were the ones who was actually doing the background dancing. And so my daughter, she's actually right here. Say hello, Dream.
Hey, Dream, how are you? Dream, you shocked me. You amazed me in so many different ways on that video that you and your dad put together. I mean, the verse that you put out there was amazing. And big ups to you, Dream. I know you're going to do major things coming forward, definitely.
Thank you.
No problem. And you're only 8 years old, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. And what grade are you in right now?
Third.
And has school started for you already?
Yes.
And how was your first day at school?
It was great.
What did you do?
Yeah, right. So Dream enjoys dancing. She enjoys rapping. And so how the idea pretty much came about, we were actually riding in the car. And it was my wife, and it was my daughter, and it was my son. And so the song came on, you know, the original song with Nicki Minaj and Yo Gotti. And I had heard it before, but my wife and my daughter hadn't heard it before. So, like, they were just kind of vibing to it. I was like, you know what? This might not be the song y'all need to be listening to.
Understood.
And so she kind of listened to it, like, a little bit. You know, she's like, oh, no, you're right. Like, this is not the song. And so we kind of stopped it. But to the disappointment of my daughter, you know, she actually was feeling the beat. And so that's when it kind of clicked in my head that, you know, we can flip this and turn it into something positive that she can also enjoy, and something that she also can enjoy create making.
Definitely. And then you have a 17-month-year-old son, I'm sorry, and his name is Champion, right?
Yeah, so I have a 17-month-year-old son, and pretty much what he just enjoys like just the whole process of dancing. And, you know, of course, he's not in the age of which he could speak or rap or anything, but I can definitely see how he'll kind of play into it just from the enjoyment factor that he already showed just from listening and dancing and just, you know, enjoying the whole process.
Definitely. He was smiling while he was in your arms doing the video. I was like, this is amazing. And the fact that you guys do it in a family-oriented way.
So we just enjoying it, man. Everything, we just definitely enjoying it.
Definitely. And the fact that you guys are doing it in a family-oriented way makes it more exciting. How did you guys come together as a family to actually put the words down on paper for the song that you guys created?
Okay, so initially what we did was, you know, I took the original, of course, I took the original hook, and I was just trying to kind of decide, like, you know, how actually could I take, you know, the original components, which my daughter, you know, was kind of initially attached to, but flipping into some positive that she can, you know, actually, you know, just use to kind of use as positive reinforcement. So I began to write it, you know, kind of solo by myself. And then I kind of, you know, as I was writing, I was telling my daughter, well, do you like this part? And so, like, the part that you even mentioned, five for the A's and four for a B. She actually came up with the next part of, I never made a C, but they go for a three.
I love it.
Said, yeah. So that was pretty cool. And so just the whole entire process was just like a definite collaborative part. My wife, you know, although she wasn't on the actual song, like, she plays into a lot of the rhythm, and, you know, she's more the swag of the family. And so, you know, certain parts that maybe wasn't the best, she'll kind of tell me, like, nah, I think you need to kind of write that again. And she also worked with my daughter on just how she can actually, you know, flow it and use it with emphasis, and the choreography too. So the choreography was all my wife. And so, you know, I definitely can do the writing, but the choreography and the videography and all that, that's my wife. And my daughter, she brings, you know, she just brings that personality and that swag. And so it's definitely a collaborative effort.
Definitely. She definitely brought some swag and, you know, to that video, man. You killed it, Dream. You definitely killed it. And Miss Summer, you did your thing too. Where was that your idea when it came to the clothing that they were wearing? Because you guys were matching with the T-shirts. Who actually came up with the ideas for the T-shirts?
Oh yeah, I'm usually always the person that do wardrobe and and clothing, but yeah. So the being that it was back to school, literally, I went to Wally World and got Wally World's Walmart is for those who don't know, and I got the girls some little matching polos to make it look like back to school, and we literally got together and put together some choreography that the day we shot the video. And Dream has some amazing, talented friends too. So those two main girls you saw dancing, those girls learned all of that choreo like in a few hours. And we awesome. Were like at filming like within hours of them learning that. So they really did a great job.
Awesome. And by you being the mother of the family, is this something like when you look out and you watch that video, is that something that just brings, you know, butterflies to your heart? Is it just warms you to see that your family is thriving in so many different lanes? How do you feel at this point?
Well, honestly, like, it's funny that you asked that question, because we've been playing around and just enjoying music, like, since my husband and I have been together. We met in high school, so
that's awesome.
And I used to play around with music a whole lot, and we used to take car rides and freestyle in a car, and this was when we were teenagers, like 16, 17. So it's crazy how, you know, now that we're older and we have our family, how it's kind of just stayed in our lives, and we are able to like share it with a lot of other people due to social media and other you know, avenues, the news, our local news channel even shared our story. So it's just crazy how it just stuck with us.
By you saying that, it's to me, what I just got from what you said is like, it's now coming down and it's going into the next generation of you guys. You know, it's now coming from your daughter, and it's going to definitely come from your son. So I think that's amazing how you guys can instill those traits and characteristics into them. And then now they can fulfill those dreams and everything that you guys were looking for when you were in your youth. So I think that's amazing that you guys are, you know, pushing your kids to do something that, you know, is talented and creative, and they can do it in their own way. I love what you guys are doing, definitely. And
thank you. We appreciate that.
No doubt. And Mr. Joel, she spoke about, Summer spoke about social media and things like that. How has social media impacted you guys from dropping this song?
It definitely impacted us in a great way. You know, the funny thing is that when we originally put it out on our Facebook, it was actually going kind of slow. And I mean, and we really thought, you know, how kind of when you create things, you might think that, you know, like, this might be one, this might be like just almost like a banger or something that might take off. But actually, in the first 24, 48 hours when we kind of put it on the Facebook, it might only done like maybe 30, 35 likes. And so, like, that was on our personal pages. But then when we actually put it out, like, on the Carter Link, which is, you know, our public page, in which, you know, a lot of the people who follow the page are not necessarily our friends and family, then, I mean, in days, things just begin like to almost like take off immediately. And so I'm also an educator. And so when I really knew that things had took off on social media, I had, you know, I had taught my first 3-4 classes. And then when I picked my phone up, like my battery had gone all the way down. I was like, why in the world is my battery going down? But the reason my battery had gone down because it was getting notification after notification after notification from people sharing it and liking it and commenting on it. And it had so many notifications till my battery was almost down. So then I called my wife. I said, man, like this thing is really taking off. And so when I told her it's really taking it off, she started looking at the phone. I was like, and she was like, why is it doing this? And then before you knew it, we saw that the Shade Room had shared it. Then once the Shade Room had shared it, then Yo Gotti, who was the original artist, he had shared it. And awesome. I mean, things just begin to take off and take off and take off on social media. And so that's just, you know, that's just one of those things in which, you know, I feel like you never know. And then once you put out, you know, positivity into the world and you put out good content, I think that the rest kind of take care of itself.
Definitely. That's incredible. That is really incredible. And like you said, you never know, you know, who's going to engage or who's going to react to something. And you just put it out because you think that, you know, it's going to do what it's going to do. But then when you see your phone blowing up, you're like, oh, this is what I was looking for. Definitely. And Dream,
right, right.
And Dream, I have a question for you. How was it for you going through and actually doing the rap? Was that something that was exciting for you? Is that something that you see yourself continuously doing?
It was both. It was fun. Amazing.
Do you plan on continuously rapping and doing different music?
Yes.
Awesome. And do you like dancing more or do you like singing and rapping more? What is your favorite thing to do?
Combine them together.
Oh, see, smart. You got to capitalize like Beyonce, right? Beyonce dance, rap, all do it all. So I appreciate that one.
Right.
Definitely.
And just to be honest, to kind of give you a little insider information, we actually do have something coming out probably within the next week that Dream will be featured on. So that's kind of, you know, a bit of inside information.
And that's why I was just actually going to ask what's coming up next for you guys. Are you guys going to drop a whole CD, a whole EP? Do you guys have more music coming out? What's up in the fall for you guys?
So what I can say is, you know, one thing that this last wave has kind of showed, you know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, your gift will make room for you, and it'll put you in positions and it gives you opportunities. And so I always, you know, just preach to my family and I always preach to my wife, you know, just like, you know, let's just make sure that we continue to use our gifts, and our gifts will be that thing that, you know, continue to open up those doors. And so, you know, from this last response of the video, you know, it kind of just confirms and brings to fruition, you know, just a lot of things that we've always talked about internally that, you know, we do believe that we are, you know, incredibly talented, and that if we put our talent out, you know, that it'll be received properly, even if no one has ever done, you know, a hip hop family before. We just think that it's a lane, you know, because it's
definitely
so much negativity, you know, showed on TV, and it's so much, you know, it's almost like, you know, even if no one has done it before, then we could be that light, you know, that's given into a dark world. And so right now what we're getting ready to do is we have another song that's coming out. We don't want to kind of give it all away, but this particular song that's going to come out, I can definitely tell you that, you know, it's one of those things that I firmly believe in. And not only do I believe in it, I think that the world is also going to receive it in a great way. We are planning to come out with a mixtape, a family mixtape together. And it's just, you know, all with us showing our talent, showing our gifts, and hopefully bringing light onto a dark world.
I love it. I'm feeling it. Definitely. I am extremely feeling this. And by you guys being from Louisiana, I know that, you know, especially with just finished down with the hurricane that happened in Texas and everything.
Yes,
did you guys get affected in any way? Were you guys affected Hurricane Harvey in any way?
Yeah. So we're actually from New Orleans, Louisiana. We currently stay in Slidell, but the reason that we stay in this particular area is because of Hurricane Katrina.
Okay.
And so, you know, we're definitely sensitive to, you know, just the hurricane and, you know, just being displaced, and not only being displaced, just a lot of, you know, we can emphasize a lot, you know, with those people who are currently, you know, going through what they're going through. And if we can create something that brings light or happiness into their life, then that's all for, you know, our calling and what I believe that we are called to do.
That's awesome. And I appreciate that, because we need more people like you to help them people, because, you know, they lost them. They lost their lives. They lost some lives. They lost their everyday lives. They lost, you know, their homes and things of that nature, especially even their schools. And are you a teacher yourself? You are a teacher yourself, right?
Yes, I'm an educator. So this is actually my fourth year in education. I teach kindergarten through eighth grade. And so a lot of the kids the funny thing is, they just discovered it like this past week. And so they all say, I tell all my kids, don't rig it up. I say, yeah, you know, and so they come kind of rapping a song to me. And honestly, you know, to me, it's not like an embarrassing thing, or it's not like a thing in which, like, I try to discard the fact that I'm actually doing it, because it really stands for everything that I teach them and everything that I preach to them is, hey, make sure you make good grades. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you try your best. You know, make sure that you're doing things, whatever it takes, so that you are college bound. And so I am an educator. So, you know, this particular song definitely goes hand in hand with not only my profession, but just my belief system.
Definitely. And can I ask you a quick question about your profession? Why do you think that there is a lack of Black male teachers right now? Like, why do you think that there is not as many Black male teachers as they are Black women teachers?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, it might not be necessarily the just the profession that maybe is the quote unquote cool profession. Mm-hmm. And then I also think it's a combination of, you know, historically, it's really not that many male teachers in the profession. I think a lot of people, you know, oftentimes you chase money more so than you chase purpose. And so I kind of got into the profession because, you know, the same thing I do in the music is the same thing I want to do for our kids, which is to inspire, which is to teach, which is to motivate. And I think sometimes, you know, like as a man, you might feel as though, well, you know what, I need to make this certain amount maybe to provide. Or maybe, you know, sometimes if you haven't seen it, you know, maybe it's hard to become it. So if you're not necessarily seeing too many males in the profession as a kid, then when you're looking up to it, then, you know, it might not be something that you want to actually, you know, obtain to become. Me personally, you know, my father and my mother was an educator. So it's kind of like that was always embedded into me, like as a way, and just, you know, the power that comes through teaching. So, I mean, hopefully we do see more males and most importantly, I'm not going to say most, well, I am going to say it. Most importantly, Black males, because I teach in a school which is 100%, you know, Black kids. And not only is it 100% Black kids, it's only 4 males out of maybe 60 teachers. And so, you know, hopefully we can kind of balance that number out a little bit, because, you know, you have a good amount of males in the school, and not everybody maybe not necessarily has that role model at home in which they can look up to and aspire, you know, to be a male. To be a man and have that male figure in their life.
Definitely. But what would you say, or what would you do to help encourage, you know, men out there to want to become male teachers, or to just strive to be an educator in general? By you being an educator, what kind of encouragement or advice that you would give to them so they can step up and say, you know what, this is a cool profession.
Right. It's very rewarding. I mean, that's the main thing. You know, I think that, you know, something that my wife can testify and tell you is that, you know, I have 2 biological kids, but I also have hundreds of kids also.
Awesome.
And like, I go to their games and I support them, and like whatever events that they have, you know, whatever issues that they might have, they know that they can call me. And it's just like, it's just one of those things that are very, 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 very rewarding. And I've only been doing it for 4 years, but I've been doing it long enough to see kids go to high school. And that's like just, mm-hmm. you know, one of those things that put chill bumps on your arm. So it's not always something that you might see monetary, like always shows up in your check, you know, from a reward standpoint. But it's one of those things that money can't buy. You know, it's one of those things that when you see a kid and you help the kid become the best that they possibly be and reach their potential, it's just a joy and it's a gratification that I think that you know, if you are looking to be a role model, if you're looking to be, you know, somebody that's giving inspiration, it's more than just one avenue in which you can do it. You know, it's not just athletics in which you can do it. You know, you can also do it through education and through that field.
I'm with it. And the last question when it comes to your profession, because I do want to get back to the CarterLink, what or how would you describe knowledge to the students? Like, how would you explain to them or break it down to what knowledge actually means? Because knowledge can, you know, be interpreted in so many different ways. But how would you break it down to your student or your classmates of knowledge, the word knowledge?
Well, knowledge, I look at knowledge as something that, you know, it's a continued process, and it's not something in which you ever, you know, fully obtain obtain it all, but it is something in which, you know, I think you should just always continue learning. I tell them that even as an educator, I'm always seeking knowledge, because the day I stop learning is the day I feel as though I stop being an effective teacher.
Agreed.
You know, and so I'm always, always emphasizing to them that, you know, it's not just so much, you know, well, once you, you know, receive an A or once you receive a good grade, that it stops. I think that it's something that's constant. It's something that should, you should always pursue. Even when you're not even in school, you still should always pursue knowledge and pursue wisdom, because, you know, I'm really, really, really big on reading. And not only am I big on reading, you know, one thing my wife can tell you is, like, it's hard for me to even enjoy a movie if I'm not learning something from it.
I'm with it.
And so it's just like one of those things that, you know, I'm really big on knowledge. And so I just try to emphasize to the kids that knowledge is something that you should continue to pursue, something that you continue to chase after, because it's definitely, definitely valuable.
I loved your answer. I really, really love your answer, because I agree with you 100%. For you guys who just tuned in, once again, we are speaking with the Carter Links, the entire family. I'm extremely excited to be talking with them. We have Mr. Joel, Miss Summer, Dream, and also Champion on the line with us today. The show is entitled Lead, Learn, and Earn. We're talking about how to just innovatively create different ways of learning and how you can push the kids to a better start this school year, definitely today here on Revive. So to get back to the Carter Links, what are some of the challenges that you guys have faced so far since you guys have put out that video and going forward?
I can speak on that, because I think I'm probably the only one that's struggling with it the most.
I'm with it.
And although we've had a lot of positive comments, likes, messages, you always have those people that don't agree with what you're doing and question your faith, question our Christianity, question our parenting, and that can always be something that kind of takes you back a little bit. So I think that's most challenging for me, is kind of just trying to just scroll past those negative comments and not really let it affect the goal that we have set in mind to continue our ministry through our music, and not trying to prove, you know, our holiness, or, you know,
I get what you're
those
saying.
Type of things, because, say it again, I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying I agree with what you're saying, because people, you know, they always have some kind of criticism to something that is great, actually.
Right. So that's the most challenging thing that I'm facing. My husband, he's one of those people, he don't really let things like that get to him. He's like, don't worry about it, because you always, you know, even Jesus had haters, you know what I'm saying? So, but I understand that and I believe that, but it's still, when you saying something about my child, about, we've had people comment about her having makeup on and, you know, things like that. We do makeup. I don't see a problem with it. So, and that's not something I'll change because other people feel, because she's 8, she shouldn't have lipstick on. She's been wearing lipstick since she was 4. So it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, people question what kind of parent you are from lipstick. Like, is, you know, and I have a problem with that, you know, and I try to just, you know, brush it off, look past those comments, because for every one negative comment, there's like 2,000 to 3,000 positive ones. So I just try to look at it like that. But it is challenging as a mother for people to come at you and question, you know, why, you know, you chose to do that with your child, why you chose to have makeup on, or, you know, even the dance routine that, you know, that we choreographed and stuff like that. I thought it was very appropriate for kids, you know, but yet people question that. So it's just one of those things where you have to kind of look past all the negativity and keep the goal in mind, keep the main goal in mind, which is for us to minister through our music and all of our music. You can go all the way back to when my husband did the first song, which was the proposal song. It's all positive stuff. We don't do negative stuff, because we want our children to be able to enjoy what we create and
definitely
be a part of it.
Definitely. And I agree with you there, Miss Summer, because one thing you said is even Jesus had haters. Definitely. And I agree with that. And you could definitely tell that that is a hater, because if you actually sit down and listen to the song, and if you just even if you don't even do it on YouTube, you can just do it, you know, through your phone or something where you're just hearing it and listen to the message and listen to the words. You can't even think about the lipstick or the dance movement because of what Dream just said. You know what I'm saying? If you listen to what Dream just said, you won't even think that she has lipstick on because the words that she just spit out and the message that she just put out to the universe. So I 100% agree with you on that one. You got to keep it moving. What's for you is for you, and everything is not for everybody. So continue.
Oh, right.
All of you guys continue to do what you guys are going to do, because you guys are going to be successful. Look what happened off of, you know, just this one video. I mean, over 500 million streams, you know. We were just listening to it again this morning.
Right.
And I'm actually going to play it for the listening audience too when we get you guys off the line so they can hear it as well. So we're definitely going to drop that track for you guys here on Revive. I'm extremely excited to play it for my listening audience because I know they're going to love it just as much as we loved it here at Revive. My last question for you guys is, how did you guys actually come up with that name, the Carterlings? Where did that come from?
Actually, you know, we battled with that a little bit trying to figure it out, and I'm really good with names, so I have to take credit for that. I kind of came up with it. I wanted it to be something that represented our family. We are all Carters, and a link is what binds you together.
Exactly.
So we are the Carter link. We are the Carters that are bonded together, and that'll never change. Me and my husband, we took an oath that we would be together till death do us part, and we're linked together. And our children are linked to us, so that's how we became the Carter link.
I'm with it, and I can hear Champion in the back right now saying, it's my turn. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. he's been trying to get on the phone. He as soon as somebody get on the phone, he wants to be on the phone. So that's just how he is. He's very active.
And how can the people find you guys? How can people find, you know, your website, your social media, the link to the song and everything like that?
Oh, 100%. The biggest following we have is on Facebook. We're at the Carter link, or just the Carter link. If you type in either of those, you can find us on Facebook, at the Carter link on Instagram. We're the Carter link on SoundCloud, the Carter link on Twitter. And we are the Carter link on YouTube. So all of our content, we try to put it on all avenues. We also have the Carter link. We have like t-shirts and clothing that we have on Etsy, which is at Nola Creative.
Awesome.
But Nola Creative carries the Carter link gear. So if anybody wants to support that, Nola Creative, that's NolaCreative, Nola Creative. So,
Did you create those shirts as well?
Probably all of the avenues that we have.
Did you create the gear? That's what I was actually mentioning when I talked about the t-shirts, you guys. So they had like gray t-shirts with blue lettering. Did you create those?
Yes. I do. I do most of our stuff. Some things I actually hand sew because I am a seamstress on top of it doing fashion design. That's kind of what I have a degree in fashion design. So I do some of the sewing. So if you go back a few videos, you'll see like actual clothing I actually sold. And then other videos where I just kind of do t-shirts and stuff like that, which is a little bit easier for me to kind of whip up when we don't have a lot of time. But yeah, we have talent all through it. I do art, face painting. I do kind of everything.
I love it. I think
a little
all
bit
you
of
guys,
everything.
I about to say, I think all you guys are multi-talented, especially through that video. Everyone was doing something, and to put all that together, I know it had to be a extreme family effort to do that. And I want to say thank you. And I love those t-shirts, by the way. That's what I was talking about. I love those great t-shirts. So I'm definitely going to put that out there for my listening audience, as well as look it up for myself, because I love those t-shirts. So I just want to say thank you, the entire Carter link family, for coming on the Revive platform.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having us. We really do appreciate it.
And Dream, keep going. I love your name because I talk about dreams all the time. So I know that you're going to be extremely successful, and I'm going to see you on every different platform I know coming very, very soon. So Dream, keep doing it. Keep pushing and following your dreams, definitely. And Champion, I can't wait to see what you're going to do because I know you're going to be a champion. And I thank you guys, man, for coming and supporting. And I'm about to drop your song right now for the people to listen. I appreciate it once again.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one. God bless.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Girl, I'm so ready for school.
Girl, me too.
My daddy said for every egg I get $5.
Yeah. Rake it up, remix. Back to
to school. Let's get it, let's get it, let's get it. I tell all my kids, go rake it up.
Rake it up.
Break it down.
Break it down.
We college bound.
We college bound.
Them A's, you
rake it up.
I said to rake it up. Them A's, you
rake it up.
Go out and rake it up.
Rake it up.
I said, all my kids, go rake it up.
Rake it up.
Break it down.
Break it down.
We college bound.
We college bound.
Them A's, you rake
it up.
I said to rake it up.
Rake it up.
Them A's, you rake
it up.
Go out and rake it up.
Back on my grind, the summer over. I gotta get my head back straight like a soldier. I'm trying to make them A's just like my daddy told you. So I do my homework, study hard like I'm supposed to. Get 5 for the A's and 4 for the B's. I ain't never made a C, but they go for the 3. Now I'm gone grade 3, working hard every day. Cause my daddy said, work first, drink, then play. Play.
I tell all my kids, go rake it up.
Rake it up.
Break it down. My fourth year teacher, so I already know. We may be underpaid, but value for sure. We gotta train these kids up in the way they should go. Our kids are a gift, our kids are a blessing. To whom much is given, no much is expected. We gotta teach his lessons, we gotta hold firm. We gotta know that even if he wrong, he can learn. We may not discern what he knows from his answer, but who's to say he might be the one that killed cancer? That's why. You care.
Do you care?
And love them like your own, cause some of these kids won't get it from home. And
do you care?
And love them like your own, cause some of these kids won't get it from home. I tell all my kids, go rake it up.
Rake it up.
Break it down.
Break it down.
We college bound.
We college bound.
Them A's, you rake it up.
Rake it up.
I said to rake it up.
Rake it up.
Go out and rake it up.
Rake it up.
I said to rake it up.
Rake it up.
Yeah. 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 Something, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Back to you, get your mind right. Just wanna do something with my daughter, you know what I'm saying? Then for all my kids, you know, out there who know what it is, man. Y'all go handle your business, man. Whether I'm there for you every single day, whether you a former student or a current student or whatever, man. Love y'all, man. Y'all go out there, go be special, go be great, man. Rake it up. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the Rake It Up remix from the Carter Link. Oh, my gosh. If you guys was not feeling that, I don't know what you guys out there are doing or thinking, because that song right there had me jamming the first, second, and 15th time I listened to it. Definitely. So shout out to the Carter Links for putting that out there for the people, man. That was extremely exciting to hear. That was extremely exciting to even know, you know, that you can be family oriented and still get the job done. You know, you can engage with your kids. You can listen to your kids sometime. I'm sure that when they sat down and made that song, they was looking at Dream like, yo, Dream, I love your idea. I love your input. I love what you're saying, because this actually makes sense, because she's in, you know, that youth. She's in that environment. So she knows more than what they know. You know what I mean? Especially when it comes to adapting to different kids and different youth. So I'm extremely excited that we had that Carter Link. I mean, we had the Carter Link on and we were able to play their track. I hope you guys continuously watch them and everything that they're doing, as well as go follow them on all their social media pages, and definitely go thumbs that song up on YouTube, on their YouTube page, man. I'm extremely excited we had the opportunity to listen to them. Up next, we do have Keith Taylor coming up with the Left Side Politics in the segment What's Buzzing. Make sure you guys stay tuned to that. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break with Keith.
sleep by the
Congratulations! You've just been accepted into the college of your dreams. But there's one issue that many Americans face when going into college: money. One way people choose to fix this issue is by taking out a student loan. While in the short run it may seem helpful, if one goes a long time without paying their dues, it can result in one of the biggest problems Americans face today: student loan debt. According to reports made by the Federal Reserve in 2017, 44.2 million U.S. citizens have some sort of student loan debt. This adds up to a total of $1.44 trillion in student loan debt, with average people paying $351 per month. Please, be smart, and remember to pay off your student debt loans, or you'll be paying for it another way.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl, POC. And we are back on Revive. It's me, your girl, POC. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message each and every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Make sure you let them know, timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to TuneIn, download the app, or go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. And you will hear me, your girl, POC, live each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and every winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. I also got Harmony, the goddess, in the studio with me as well. We're about to be talking with Keith Taylor from TLS Politics. I'm extremely excited, man. This link up is going to be incredible. Once again, Keith will be coming on Revive every second and fourth Sunday of the month to talk politics and just to educate and re-educate you guys on the segment What's Buzzing. So make sure you guys stay tuned to that. I do not want you guys to miss that at all. It's extremely exciting to know that, you know, people out there are interested in politics. I thought it was just me. And then when I met Keith, I'm like, it's just me and Keith out here who are in the millennials who love politics, but it's a lot of people out there who is digging the whole politics scene. Yo, Harmony, how do you feel about politics?
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of politics at all. It's something that I'm still learning about and trying to educate myself on, especially in this time that we're going through right now. So I'm not really into politics, but it is definitely something to educate yourself on, because you definitely need to know about your leaders and the people that are guiding you or setting bills and laws in your society.
I'm with you. And it's some people out there who's not, you know, into politics. And I love your truth. Well, hopefully after you hear me and Keith every second and fourth Sunday, you get into it. So let's get into this What's Buzzing. Up next with the Left Side Politics.
What's Buzzing? Lost in a world full of words, or a combination of which enters me. On to rants such as What's Buzzing? What's amazing is what a large world this is. Today in this world, we are either talking about the something, the no thing, and what's buzzing. Current events, let's talk about it. You have an opinion, let's talk about it. What's buzzing?
Yo, Keith, what's buzzing today? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. What's up with you?
What's up, man? I'm extremely excited for this link up. This link up is going to be epic, Keith. They're not ready for this, man. We are going to be dropping so many different gems on this segment we have here on What's Buzzing that they're not ready. They're not ready. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm ready. You know, hashtag stay woke.
Stay woke.
And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time. Great time to educate the people. Great time to give them knowledge. Great time to show them what's really going on in the world.
Definitely. Go ahead and introduce yourself so that people can be more familiar of who you are and why you're coming on every second and fourth Sunday.
So, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Keith Taylor. I am the co-founder of TLS Politics, the Left Side Politics. And our goal is simply to educate. We want to challenge the norms. We want to give people politics. We want to break it down. We want to give you that base knowledge that you can use in your everyday life. Take sort of high-level perspectives. We do the research. We do the in-depth thinking. And we bring it to you for a way for that you can use and that you can contribute to your everyday life. And we also deal with facts. So we bring you facts and allow you to formulate your own opinions about what's really going on in the world.
I'm with it. And how can the people find you, your social media and things like that?
So we got Instagram and Facebook. So that would be a TLS Politics, TLSPOLITICS. So that's on Instagram and Facebook. On Twitter, it's going to be the same with an underscore at the end. So TLS Politics underscore on Twitter. And if you want to send us an email, that'll be at theleftside@gmail.com. TALEFTSIDE@gmail.com.
Perfect. And today, Keith, before we jump right into the politics, let's talk about today. We were talking about school and, you know, we're trying to get the kids back into school and starting them off the right way. What kind of advice that you would give to, you know, students who are now entering, you know, either college or just, you know, elementary school? What kind of advice would you give them?
College, go in with an open mind. Take classes you would normally take. Challenge yourself. Really learn as much as you can and network, 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 network. I think to me, networking is probably one of the biggest takeaways in college. And when I remember I got my first job at Deutsche Bank, one of the hiring managers came in after we started our first day and she was like, who you know gets you an interview, what you know gets you a job. Mm-hmm. So classroom is definitely important and all the knowledge that you gain in there, but also the people that you meet outside of the classroom. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard, your network determines your net worth. So network, network, network.
I say it all the time. I'm with that one, Keith, definitely. And you went on and you got your master's right after your bachelor's, so you didn't take any breaks or anything like that, did you?
Nope. So I double majored in political science and aviation, graduated in 2015 from the good old University of Jacksonville University down in Florida. And then I stayed to get my MBA there as well to learn the whole business side of things and to really take that advanced level and to take a deeper dive into education and really explore the business world and what those things were like.
Definitely. And I appreciate you, especially with that aviation degree, man. That's amazing. That's really amazing. That shocks me every time you say it. I'm like, yo, Keith's about to be a pilot. I tell everybody you're a pilot, Keith. I'm like, yo, Keith is about to be a pilot. But let's jump right into this politics. So you wanted to start with, is there any particular order that you want to go in today?
Nope. We go whatever you want to go with.
All right, boom. So let's go directly to Charlottesville because I never really touched on it here on Revive. So I do want to talk about Charlottesville and the amount of racism that we've seen come out of that incident that happened in Virginia.
Right. Okay. So the whole basis of Charlottesville started, it was essentially to protest a Unite the Right rally. So a group of white supremacists, white nationalists, neo-Confederates, and various militias, their whole goal was to come together to protest the removal of General Robert E. Lee from a park located in Charlottesville, Virginia. And for those who don't know, General Lee was one of the generals for the Confederate of the South during the Civil War. So across the nation, slowly but surely, a lot of these Confederate monuments and Confederate flags, I think it was in 2015 or 2016, when we had a vast removal of Confederate flags come down from various state houses, capitol, and city halls, that they wanted to come together because they felt they needed to preserve or protect their history of Southern history and Civil War and Confederate beliefs.
But the thing about it is, though, especially in Charlottesville, I felt like it was white people fighting white people. It was like them showing racism to each other. I don't understand it, like how another white person can be racist towards another white person. I do understand, you know, about the statues and everything of that nature, how that is race, how that can be seen as racist. But the fight that actually happened or, you know, started in Charlottesville was between whites and other whites. It had nothing to do with us as African-Americans. So when they were calling it racist or things like that, I'm like, how are they being racist? Can you break that down to me?
So the racism piece comes from it being KKK members, neo-Nazi members, and white nationalists, people who only want to preserve the white race. And they feel that the white race is superior to all others and that they want to preserve their history and preserve their integrity. And to on a similar sense of how Hitler wanted to persecute the Jews, and they want to preserve that and portray that and protect that throughout the history of America. And when you have African-Americans, Latinos, Asians, or other races who essentially agree that diversity is the way that we move forward in life, then you have these two separate balances. And you can even go back to the Civil War when you had white people from the North coming down to help slaves either free them or to work with them or to get them better. But then you also have this alt-right movement of the far right on the political mm-hmm. spectrum who believe that white values are king, that this is the way things should be done. White people are the superior race to all races. But then you also have, on the other extreme, the alt-left, who essentially clash at each other. And as I was reading in the blogs that they sort of used to set up this rally and to get this organized, they said that we want to incite violence, but we don't want to be the ones to start the violence. We want to be the ones who, when they look back on it and show the tapes, that we were just there exercising our free speech.
Exactly.
We want to entice violence, but you don't start the violence. Allow them to start the violence, because the alt-left idiots, allow them to be the ones who are seen as irrational, the ones who aren't able to conduct themselves in a proper manner and who always want to entice violence, or who always are the first to or the aggressor. So even though majority of the people were white on white, it still had deep racial tensions and deep racial relations.
I agree with you there. I have a couple points I want to make to things that you said. I agree with you there. I'm going to start with the last point when you said we're not going to start the violence. We're just going to entice it. And that's exactly what our president was saying. Not my president. I'm sorry. That's exactly what Donald Trump was saying when he did his Now, I'm not even going to call it a speech. I'm just going to call it when he came to front of the American people and he said his part. When he said his part, he was saying, but what about the left side? What about, you know, the people who were in, starting the fight? What, they didn't start the fight. We were just there using our freedom of speech. He literally said that in so many different words when he was doing his press conference. And I think that by you saying that makes me think about the point that he now was trying to get across during that press conference by even mentioning, but what about the other side? What about the other people that was there to incite the fight? So I think that that's crazy. And then another point that you said about diversity. What were you saying, Keith? I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish it. I'll come up.
You were saying something about diversity, and you said that is going to help us move forward. I think diversity is an illusion of inclusion, honestly. Diversity is not something that is going to help us as people move forward, because we're not, you know, we were always here. We're part of the majority. We're not an immigrant. We're not someone who's coming over looking for, you know, some reparations. We're here because we built this joint for free, as Angela Rye would say. So I don't think diversity is something that, you know, will help us feel included or even more included, because we have always been here. So for us to be like, oh yeah, we need diversity and we need to add, you know, some color here and some color there, it's not really going to help me or help my people in general, because I think it's all about the number game, especially, like, just for example, in the professional world, we go get a job, right? And in the job, they're going to hire people based on numbers so they can say that they have diversity in their company. And it's all about the numbers. It has nothing to do with, you know, my ability to actually be able to do the job. It's just because you need somebody to help fill these numbers for this, you know, fiscal year. So with that diversity thing, I don't think that's going to help us move forward. And then to piggyback on what you were saying about it wasn't our fight, but, you know, it is some racism there. But I think that we should let them fight it out, you know, just like they let us fight it out with this quote unquote black crime thing or black on black crime thing. I think we should let them fight it out. We should not get involved in that. And I think once we get involved, that's when it becomes bigger. And that's when, you know, little trinkets like Black Lives Matter and things like that name gets thrown out there. But if you look, there were no Black Lives Matter protesters out there. White people were out there holding signs that said Black Lives Matter. That wasn't the Black Lives Matter organization that I know of that was out there protesting. So I think that we should let them fight that out. What do you think?
I'm gonna tell you right the reason why they won't let them fight it out. One, it's because they're white people. If we want to truly get down deep to it, they allow black on black crime. I'm not gonna say because they don't care, but it doesn't affect their community.
Exactly.
And when it doesn't affect your community, to be honest, you look out the window and say, oh man, I think they're over there fighting. And what are you going to do? You're going to close your window. You're going to keep doing what you got to do. You're minding your own business. But when it affects the majority of America, then that's when we have a bigger problem. That's when it's a problem. That's when people want to step up and say, all right, well, let's tame down the sides. Let's get this under control. Let's bring this together and let's find a way to discuss this and talk it out. But when it affects your community from across the street, you're like, as long as they don't bring it over here, I really don't care. On the Donald Trump point, I believe he got big ridicule, and his problem was that he could not, he was finger pointing. He was saying, well, yeah, well, the alt-right did wrong, but look, you all did wrong too. And it's not saying or accepting blame for or casting out those really alt-right people or those people who are the extreme right and saying that they are bad, that what they should have done should have not have happened. And I think if he would have came out and said that and really placed blame where blame was to be brought, not saying that the left isn't to blame too, because I do believe they are, as we are all individuals and adults. We all have to come together to try to make it better, right? But his problem was that he did it in a finger-pointing manner, saying that, well, you're going to blame us? Well, they did it too. So why aren't you casting blame on them as well? We're all wrong. And it didn't seem genuine from him at all, as nothing seems genuine from him. And that was his problem about that. And then diversity, as you said, it's and I think that's the problem, is that it is a numbers game. And it is that, oh, well, I just need to get this amount of people so we can just fill this quota. And instead of it being a mindset of all inclusive and all together as one, where if we all come together, if we all do things together, even though we had different perspectives and different beliefs, we can put that aside, or we can become bigger people to put those things to rest, or to, okay, I may think different from you on this point, but how about we work together to work for a compromise in the middle, as this is bigger than me and you, or this has been bigger than just it being a number.
Definitely. And to piggyback up on what you said with the alt-right thing, right? And then you have to understand the president, Donald Trump, what he just did. He just granted a pardon to what? Joseph Michael Arpaio? Am I saying it right? How do you say his last name?
Yes. Arpaio.
Arpaio. Yes. Joseph, thank you, Arpaio, for that. So yes, that he just grant a pardon for him, for something that he did. And you have to understand, he was a sheriff for what? 24 years. Do you hear me, Keith? He was the sheriff of in a city in Arizona for 24 years, from 1993 to 2016. And he just lost the reelection in 2016. That's crazy to me. So can you talk a little bit more about that pardon?
So that pardon from President Trump and Joe Arpaio, he was a sheriff. And Joe Arpaio was being brought up on criminal charges, stemming back to I think it was a court decision in 2011, where one of the judges, so let's start from before that. Joe Arpaio is really known for his hardline tactics against immigration. He was a sheriff in Arizona, which has a very large illegal immigration percentage. And he was known by the conservatives as being one of the most hardline top sheriffs in the country on immigration. So what they did was he convicted criminals related to hardline tactics on going against undocumented immigrants. He would send his officers out on pretextual traffic stops and patrol sweeps that focused on Hispanic neighborhoods. So they were racially profiling Hispanic and Latinos in the Arizona, in his county, to see for illegal immigration and see if they were illegal immigrants. Because on that level, on the state level, illegal immigration, if you're found of a major crime, then you get turned over to the federal government. But as a state or county level, you don't have the constitutional power to go searching for illegal immigrants. And he was having his officers directly look for illegal immigrants. So if you were Latino or Hispanic, as I said, his officers would racially profile you in that sense. So a judge issued a order saying that he needs to stop that at all. But what did he do? He kept continuing to do it, and it carried on for a good year and a half. So I want to say in 2015, he was found guilty of not listening to the judge and breaking the law. So he was going to be sentenced in October. The max sentence they said he was probably going to get is 6 months. It was a small misdemeanor. But then President Trump pardoned this guy this month and or last month in August so that he wouldn't be brought up. And one of the reasons, I believe, is that he is also a very avid Trump supporter. And to show you this guy's way of thinking, he also supported Trump in the birth certificate of President Obama, saying that President Obama isn't really from America and that he has a fake birth certificate, which, of course, those claims will put to rest. But then that goes to show you on the line of thinking of how this guy thinks or his beliefs. And that is something that President Trump got a lot of ridicule for and backlash. And also, as we know, during the campaign trail, President Trump is very, very hard on illegal immigration. And this guy supports his mission on illegal immigration.
And that's crazy to me, honestly. And to know that he, you know how when Obama was going into his last year and he started, you know, giving pardons to everyone so they can, you know, come out and live their lives, especially, you know, for petty crimes such as, you know, marijuana and things of that nature. And when Obama did it, we were excited. We were astonished. We were like, yes, this is what we wanted. This is why you're here right now, right? And then Donald Trump goes and pulls something like this, Keith. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't add up. Like, how can you even sit here and say or compare yourself to a president such as Obama, and you're over here giving pardons to people who are pushing to illegal immigration and things like that based on the knowledge and the information that you have put out? It just makes me think that, like, what are you guys doing? Is this like an underlying message that we need to dig deeper into? Is this something that we need to know more about? Did he put money in your pocket some way, somehow? Like, how did you decide your very first pardon was going to be this guy? You know what I'm saying? So that's just something that plays in my back of my head when I read that information and I did my research. It's like, why did you give a pardon to this guy after you just got so much backlash about the immigration law and the immigration ban you just put out, and then you go out and you let him free, you know, you drop everything from him? And it's just like, do you think that there's more to it, Keith?
I personally don't even think it's that deep. I think Donald Trump is taking care of the people who took care of him. He is showing sense. His, which he hasn't had much in the past, loyalty, but I think he just did it to support a friend who really backed his stance and who really agrees with him on illegal immigration and is as hard line and won't waver on illegal immigration. I personally do not think there's anything deeper than that he is trying to do that. And if you really look into it and dig deeper, he probably wasn't even going to get any time in jail. And if so, it wasn't going to be long. So if he really played it smart, honestly, he would have probably just let him go to jail, let him do his time, and then hired him secretly to be an advisor and then to consult him on that aspect. But instead, he played it the dumb way, and he made it a national scene and a national spotlight to show that Donald Trump listens to nobody and he does not play by the rules, and that his way of thinking will not, it's unprecedented. Like, the way presidents did things in the past, the way career politicians have did things, you cannot take it to this president. You cannot attribute those things to him, that he isn't going to play by the rules, that he is going to do it his own way, basically.
And then to think, to just bring it to the next subject, and to think, and you said he's not going to be swayed or he's not going to be waived at all. Just think, Colin Kaepernick, you know, he's not going to be swayed at all. He's going to continue to take his stance. He's going to continue to make noise. He's going to continue to use his platform for the righteousness of the good, you know, the good in people, things of that nature, to push this country to understand that, you know, we're all not equal, to push this country to understand that freedom in this country is not truly freedom, as you would definitely say, you know, the land of the free, the Liberty Bell, whatever it may be. So how do you feel about that Colin Kaepernick situation?
I think it's bogus, honestly. I think Colin Kaepernick has been blackballed in the NFL. Unfortunately, I don't think he'll be able to hold another, whether it's a starting job, whether it's a backup job, whether it's a practice squad. I think his time in the NFL may be done. There may be a team who may need, who has a quarterback issue, who may need to sign him. But I personally think his time in the NFL has come to an end, man. It's unfortunately sad.
But it's so many people who have his back, though, because if you look at the NFL right now, I mean, I'm not watching it because I'm with the boycott of the NFL. But if you do your research, there's so many other athletes out there who are standing with him. You know, there's so many athletes out there who respect him for what he has done, the noise that he's making, just in general when it comes to helping the people understand and just waking the people up. I love what he has done. But yeah, to be blackballed by the NFL is crazy. Do you think that the NFL is someone who is going to address the situation? Do you think they're ever going to speak out? Because I never heard anything from them. Do you think they're obligated to speak out, or you think they can just, you know, stay quiet forever?
I think they can stay quiet forever. I think this is the NFL's way of speaking out. That, I mean, they see that there's nothing they can do. The NFL is an organization, but, I mean, when you look down to it, there's 32 teams that can all make a decision to sign this guy or not, and not any one of them have done it. And as you said, a lot of athletes support Kaepernick, because if you look at it, Kaepernick was not the only person, even on the 49ers, to take a knee during the anthem. And he's not the only one to still do it today. A lot of players still do it out of respect for Kaepernick or out of respect for what's going on, right? But the thing is, Kaepernick, teams do not want to sign Kaepernick because of the backlash that it would create. If you look at a lot of teams in the NFL don't want controversy. And if you do have controversy, you have to be a superstar player. You have to produce. You have to put fans in the seats. And on Sunday, you have to make the people forget what is going on. Let's take Ezekiel Elliott, for example, right? He's been cleared of the charges of what happened, right? But the Cowboys have still kept him on the team. The things that Kaepernick was going through didn't happen with him. Dez Bryant was also another controversial player for the Cowboys. And the Cowboys organization as a whole, and Jerry Jones is an owner who tends to sign controversial players. A lot of people may forget about Greg Hardy, but he was released by the Panthers for, I think it was allegedly beating his girlfriend. He sat out, I think, the rest of the year, but then the Cowboys signed him to a one-year deal. So the Cowboys don't have a problem of signing controversial players, but the thing is that the Cowboys already have a franchise quarterback and a backup. So the one team that I think Kaepernick could have got signed by the Cowboys, they already have a quarterback in Dak Prescott. So his one option that could have happened is gone, and no other of the 31 teams want that kind of controversy or want that backlash or a player who they figure may or may not produce. Because in the NFL, if you can win games on a Sunday, you can make a lot of people forget about a lot of things, or you can make them live with a lot of things, especially if you can take your team to the playoffs or the Super Bowl. A lot of people will forget a lot of things, but they feel the risk-reward for Kaepernick is not that great to deal with the outlash and the backlash from what may come from signing him.
Definitely, but at the same time, I agree with what you just said, but at the same time, you also have to understand that he's doing so many different things off the field that should definitely, you know, take or should be taken into consideration when it comes to him getting back on the field, because he's making noise in so many different lanes. You know, he just did a project in Africa. He's donating clothes and things like that to a homeless shelter. He's going into schools and educating students and things. So many different things that he's doing off the field that he's still making noise with. So I'm extremely excited that he's doing that. But before we let you go today, Keith, I do want to talk about one last thing that you brought up on your platform earlier. You talked about Donald Trump has lifted the ban on military gear earlier this week, and I wanted to definitely bring that to the listening audience. But before we do that, we do have a caller, so I want to see what this caller has to say. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hello, I'm Janae. I'm from Philly.
How are you doing today, Janae?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Did you have a comment or anything that you wanted to say today?
Yes, my comment was, thinking that about Colin Kaepernick, I would think that, you know, a team, you know, accepting him and having him join would actually boost the, you know, the numbers and all that. I just wanted to know what Keith's take on that, because when he took the knee, like, jersey sales went, you know, through the roof. And thinking that, you know, African Americans, we have the most buying power in the economy, that if we if a team went behind him, then we would actually do better for it. I just want to know Keith's thoughts on that.
Well, thank you for calling in, Janae. I think it could help, but I think it also depends a lot on the media. The media has a very influential way of influencing things, whether it's elections or whether it's your personal take on people. And I think it can, but it also comes the question of will it? And I'm unsure of the actual answer of either way, because we still have yet to see what happens. But I think it can be a positive thing for a team if they spin it the right way or if they really use it in a progressive manner, then I'm sure it can be.
Definitely. Okay. And if I can answer your question, Danae, as well, I'm not sure, like he said, I'm not sure exactly what a team can do. But at the same time, like I was just saying, the amount of things that he's doing off the field, actually it's helping him to get back on, well, in my opinion, should be helping him to get back on the field. Because, you know, like when it comes to the NBA and the NFL, they do charity work and they do different donations and things of that nature. And Colin has made a huge impact in the city and community of San Francisco, where he can go into different schools and go into different organizations and speak on behalf of the 49ers. So I think that that can help when it comes to generating different revenue for any team that, you know, may pick him up because of the amount of he gained the amount of energy that he gained throughout, you know, different places that he has, you know, gone into and made noise in and spoke up for himself. So I think that can be one way that can create revenue for, you know, any organization that picks him up, because he can speak to that community. And I completely
agree with that.
Thank you, Janae, once again for calling in and supporting the Revive platform. Have a good one. But Keith, can you get back on to what you were talking about earlier this week about the military ban, Donald Trump lifting that military ban? We do have to wrap it up really quick, but I do want you to touch on that.
So back in 2015, President Obama issued an executive order prohibiting sort of police in America from having military gear. And this includes like high caliber weapons, camouflage uniforms, and grenade launchers and armored vehicles. So, of course, Donald Trump and his best friend, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, started to look at ways to roll back that policy and to begin to allow police forces to sort of, I'm not going to say hand-me-downs, but to get a lot of this equipment to help combat crime. Now, let me say this, is that I'm all for the protection of police, and I'm all for them having the gear, the equipment, the technology, the vehicles, whatever they need in order to keep them safe and to make sure that we're safe. But I don't think military gear of grenade launchers and high caliber weapons and camouflage uniforms and armored vehicles, super armored vehicles as in Humvees, driving down our street is the right way to do it. Especially in today's America, where community relations and police relations are at such an all-time high that you can smell the gas burning, essentially. And one little tick or one little instance can then make this whole match and set this whole place on fire. And I don't think this is the appropriate way to go about it. And if it is that fact of you wanting to protect police more, or you wanted to give them the necessary equipment that they need to do their job, then I think there needs to be a different discussion of what does that look like? Because having the National Guard equipment or armory in a local city, I don't think is either one friendly or inviting. Definitely. At all. And if we have a bigger threat locally than what we know about, then I think that's a bigger discussion that Donald Trump needs to come to America in its face and tell us this is what's going on. And I think even in that sense, that needs to be so targeted and so well specific that people would be like, okay, well, I can kind of see that. You have to make a very, very compelling argument, because having that in our streets is not the way to go about keeping us safe at all.
I'm with you on that one, Keith, definitely. And that was one thing that I made when you put that post out there. I'm like, for one, that just makes me think that, you know, blue lives really matter in this world. I mean, this country, I should say, in America, whatever a blue life may be, Donald Trump just stepped up and showed me personally that blue lives matter, that law that they passed down in Louisiana. It is definitely going to come out, and more people are going to start to recognize that. And then another thing that made me realize is, like, his whole agenda is honestly, truly just to break or take back the entire legacy that President Obama had. Because everything that Obama has done for us as a country, Donald Trump is gone and definitely has either taken it back, took it away from us, or whatever it may be. And it's just bothering me at this point to be like, yo, what is your agenda? What's your goal for the things that you're doing? Because you putting military arming the police officers with military gear and things like that is not going to help us or make our community safer. It's really not. It's going to make us want to attack more because we feel as though that you guys are attacking us even more. So it's not going to help us in any way. And then lastly, my biggest question is, who's going to pay for this? You know, who's going to pay for this? Because if you think about it, police officers are being paid and compensated off of our tax dollars. So who's going to pay for this? So now we have to go out and get bigger and better and, you know, tougher gear for them too as well. Like, no, that's not what we want to do. When we go to work, we don't want to, you know, have our checks cut in half because our police who are in our community have to be equipped with all this military gear. That's just not something that I'm ready to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? I want my check back. Definitely. But we do have a caller on the line, so I want to get to this last caller before I let you go today, Keith. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, my name is Brittany. I'm calling for Alabama.
How are you doing today?
So I got one quick question. Do you think, like Donald Trump pardoning the sheriff, it was like a PR move? It's like it showed that he was behind what he set out to do with the wall and things like that, hard on immigration. He did think that, like, it helped prove his point. Like, hey, I'm finna. All his supporters probably backing it. Like, I'm probably going to make a few people mad, but all my supporters going to be like, yeah, this is what we did. Definitely. This is why we got you here.
Keith, go ahead and answer that question for
her. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for the question. I 100% think it's a PR move. And I 100% think that he's going to use him in some way or fashion to support his illegal immigration crackdown. As we all know, Donald Trump's biggest thing is that he wants to build a border wall, right? And who else would you consult from a guy who is considered one of the most hardline people to be on illegal immigration to come with you? And for you to get that, to pardon this guy, it's basically like he's fulfilling his campaign promises that he said he was going to do. So he's telling you, I'm going to crack down on illegal immigration. What better for way you to crack down on illegal immigration than to get one of the most hardline guys on illegal immigration?
Exactly.
And I 100% think it's a PR move as well to show that, look, I told you all this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, and this is who I'm going to do it with.
Definitely. And I agree with you there. I think it was a move to keep his constituents happy throughout the entire process of his reign of being president, you know, because he made a bunch of promises while he was campaigning to be a president. And he made a bunch of promises. And I think that this move actually shows that I'm going to make sure that I fulfill every promise that I promised the American people. And it's the scariest thing ever, honestly, truly. But I thank you for your call, and I appreciate you supporting the Revive platform. Continues to call in. All right, Keith, as we wrap up your segment here on Revive, go ahead and tell the people where they can find you, and they can definitely look at those videos that you post throughout the week.
So we post videos on Instagram and Facebook, so that would be at TLS Politics, TLSPOLITICS Politics. On Facebook, we do a question of the day, Monday through Friday, a thought-provoking, open-ended question that allows you all to come in and post your opinions. And really have that encouraging dialogue. On Instagram, we do a video a day, try to just pick one topic of a day and break down what that really means and how that and what that means moving forward, the facts behind it and what's going on. And on Twitter, we also feed the same information. And on Twitter, it'd be TLS Politics with an underscore at the end. So that'd be TLSPOLITICS underscore. You can send us an email at theleftside@gmail.com, theleftside@gmail.com. Definitely send comments if you want to see a question of the day, or if you have certain questions, if you want to join a team, or if you want to just get more involved with TLS Politics, definitely send us an email and we'll definitely respond to you.
I'm with it. Thank you once again, Keith, for always coming on with a bunch of knowledge and definitely some gems to, you know, spread and just in just engage with our listening audience, and I appreciate you. You guys, make sure you guys stay tuned to Keith. He will be on Revive every second and fourth Sunday of the month. I know this is the first Sunday, but True Heart was not able to hold it down, so Keith came in and held it down for us. So we're going to get a double dosage of Keith back-to-back Sunday, so make sure you guys stay tuned because he will be right back on next Sunday on Revive. Keith, thank you. We're looking out for those questions of the day each and every day here on Revive, so I appreciate what you're doing, and I wish you many blessings in your future endeavors. Thank you again.
Thank you.
No doubt. And once again, today's show is entitled Lead, Learn, and Earn. So make sure you guys stay tuned. We have our next guest, Tony Jackson, coming up on the Revive platform. I'm extremely excited to be talking with him. I know we kind of cut off a little bit of his time with the politics segment, but we were interested, and I definitely was learning and learning and learning. Keith is an amazing person. He teaches me so many different things every time he gets on the airways. But we do have Tony Jackson coming up on Revive. But before we start with Tony Jackson, I want to play you something that he did and that got me really excited with Microsoft, and that's how we actually was able to get him on the show. So take a listen to this, you guys.
My calling is teaching, and my passion is performing. Being in that classroom, that's my stage. When kids are coming into my classroom, they know that Mr. Jackson is the rapping teacher. Welcome to fourth grade. Today will only be a short day. I'm Mr. Jackson. I like to laugh and, of course, play. Rap is a great way to engage students. It's literacy and vocabulary words. Technology is a huge piece of education. Using the pen for the first time on the Windows 10 PC was a lot of fun and really inspiring. I'm able to highlight different rhyme schemes and delete. The addition of being able to write over video where I can really bring it to life is really exciting. I can actually see my lines when I'm shading in. I can change the weight drawing directly on my screen. I couldn't do this on my Mac. All of my kids are performers too. And I'm trying to bring the best performance out of them that I can. I can see the future happening. I mean, I feel like the sky's the limit.
That was incredible. That was Tony Jackson. I love what he's doing. Man, if you guys are on the computer right now, if you have your smart device in your hand right now, go to YouTube right now and type in Teacher Tony Jackson, and you will see the beautiful, beautiful work that he's put forth for the kids in his community. Hey, Tony, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on.
I'm extremely excited to be talking with you, man. I seen your video, and it actually was an ad. I was watching YouTube, and it was an ad that came through from Microsoft, and I was like, yo, he did all of that with that. I was like, yo, we got to get him on the show. So if you can go ahead and introduce yourself for the listening audience, that would be amazing.
Sure. Like you said, my name is Tony Jackson. I'm going into my 12th year teaching. I teach in Hackensack, New Jersey. And I teach fourth grade. This is my seventh year in fourth grade. What was happening in the Windows commercial is that they saw that I was using hip hop and rap in the classroom, and for a variety of reasons. I mean, I don't know how deep we'll get into it, but it's not just for remembering rhymes. You know, there's a really deep connection to rap and learning. But they picked up on that and thought it was something that they'd like to highlight. And that was, that's the history of it.
Awesome. So do you create your lesson plans around, rap and things of that nature?
I generally, because rap is something that I'm really passionate about, I will look for places within my lesson plans to bring it out. So it's usually something that I do. I create my lesson plans with a team, my fourth grade team. And then, we'll have the same core plan, but, we each diverge and do our own different things. And, a lot of the things that I do happen to involve rhymes and rap.
Awesome. So do you go to do you teach at a different kind of school? Are you teaching at a public school? Or are you teaching at a Montessori? What kind of school are you teaching at?
It's Nellie K. Parker in Hackensack, and we're a public school. I've only taught this is the only school that I've taught in, so I've been public school all my life.
Awesome. So how do they actually allow you to switch up the style of learning, because what you're doing is very, very engaging and very innovative and creative as well to keep the kids, there, they might be there, but they're really not there. But what you're actually doing is keeping them there. So how did the school take you changing up the learning style?
When I started teaching, I always say that every year I'm going to be the best teacher I've ever been. So I already know that, whatever point I've gotten to where I think I'm doing well, the next year I'm going to be better because I'm learning because of what I learned from my students. And when I started,
I was just putting rap into the work that I was doing because I thought it would help the kids to have fun. And then as I progressed and grew as a teacher and as I learned more, I started to see where I could really make connections. So if we're able to make substantive connections, then my principal, my administration, they're totally down for that. I mean, they're really great about saying, you know, if you have something that's outside of the box, bring it. You know, as long as it can help the students and it's guiding them somewhere, then feel free to be you. So I'm super blessed in that sense. I know a lot of teachers feel shackled or handcuffed sometimes because they want to do something. And thankfully, you know, my principal and my assistant principals have been really accommodating in that sense.
And has school started for you guys up there in New Jersey?
We start next week. Actually, this week. You start on Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay. And how is the summer transition from, you know, summer to school year for you as a teacher? How's that transition?
It's been great. I mean, this summer has been a great time to kind of get my plans ready for what's going to happen in the school year. I started back in June, back in July, and I joined a cohort of teachers that are online, and we're starting to get all of our resources and get things together so that we can cut down on what we have to prep during the week, during the school week. So most of my focus during the week, I'm hoping this year, will be on, you know, directly what's happening, engaging the students, assessing them, seeing how they're doing. And a lot of the groundwork is laid over the summer. So, you know, I've been putting that work in every now and then, but I've had plenty of time to be creative and to build with amazing people.
So is the first day of school the same feeling that you felt every year? You say you've been doing it for a while. So is the first year, the first day of school, is that the same feeling every first day, or do you get a new first day feeling every year?
That's a good question. I think there's a piece of it. I always feel really anxious. I always feel extremely anxious. I mean, not necessarily nervous, but really excited and just to meet kids. But I think as I've you know, had the experience under my belt now, I feel more calm, more ready.
Tony, you're kind of going in and out.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you were actually kind of going in and out, like your service was dropping in just a little bit. So we kind of missed the last part that you just said.
If you can hear now, I was just meaning that, you know, having these years every year, I feel a little bit more comfortable. So, you know, I had anxiousness, but it's not really nervous. So I'm more excited to think.
And so for me, if you were like, you know, the rapping teacher, the teacher that, you know, allowed me to, you know, educate myself through music and different things like that, through art, I would have loved to be in your class, right? So how do you, I know you don't pick your students, but what if the students say, you know what, I don't want this fourth grade teacher. I want to be in Mr. Jackson's class. Like, have you received that feedback before?
I think not every student loves, not every student has the same pace in what my particular style might be for, you know, some songs or the way I want to present some lessons. And I feel like that's my challenge. So my challenge is how I reach every kid. And I think even if they're not a big fan, I've had a lot of kids. I mean, I've had a lot of people in the circle who will say, you know, oh, I'm not a fan of rap, but I really like what you do. And I always.
Mr. Jackson, your phone is really breaking up.
But I don't want to think that I am unique in the sense that, you know, hip-hop is.
So we're going to try to work with Mr. Jackson to get his phone together. I'm sorry for the connection. The connection was really breaking up. We couldn't really hear him. He was fading in and out. So we're going to try to put him back on the show. Give me 1 second while we work with that. But we were talking about today's show.
Hoping it was my headphones.
Okay, awesome. I can hear you loud and clear now.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. I was just saying that. I think hip hop is so vast, and when people say I don't really like hip hop, but I like what you do, I want to try to deflect a little bit of that and say, well, you know, what have you looked for? What have you examined within hip hop? You know, are you only listening to what's on the radio, or are you digging deeper? Because you'll find amazing, amazing things. So, you know, I try to give that to people, and with students, when they see that I'm willing to embarrass myself or be silly or try to make it fun, a lot of the times they'll forgive, even if it's not their favorite genre of music.
And then, so I have another question too, because I'm sure you get some kind of backlash from the way your teaching methods or things like that nature. Have you ever received any backlash from the way that your teaching style is?
It's funny because the most backlash I've ever received is coming in the wake of the commercial. And I think it's because a lot of people see it as gimmicky and they think this is just something that's being put out there so it looks good. But you know, this is what I've been doing for years and my students love it. It's been really effective. And when people see just a piece of it, I think sometimes they wanna say, oh, this is just a marketing thing. So that's where the most backlash I've received has come from.
I'm with it. And does that keep you motivated, or is that something that you say, okay, maybe I should take those thoughts or whatever people opinions and take it into consideration? Or do you say, you know what, I'm going to eat this alive and it's going to keep me going?
Oh, I love that. I love that. I think I do eat it alive. You know, when it comes in, if it's constructive, if somebody has something to say that can honestly help me to build on what I'm doing, I will completely listen to that. But most of the time it's people saying just little things that they're trying to pick at that are not necessarily affecting me. And so if it's something that I feel it doesn't matter, if they're just trying to be negative, then like you're saying, I'll eat that and I'll move on, because there's a lot more positive stuff. I can look at the effects, the positive effects and the positive words that are coming in and really grow off of that.
Definitely. And how do you keep your students motivated? Like, what is one thing that you do to keep your students motivated too?
I think a lot of that has to do with building a really strong relationship with them right from the beginning. So I want them to see that I love them. I love what they're doing, and I'm going to be pushing them just like I'm trying to get better. I want them to constantly do better. So I think a personal relationship is really the foundation for any kind of motivation. If they know that I really am there for them, then they're going to try to do better themselves in my class.
Yes, I agree with you on that one, definitely. But the only thing is like, you just said that you were in public school, right? But sometimes when it comes to public schooling, there's the class sizes are what, 30, 35? So it's hard to get that person, that one-on-one person to sit down with you, you know, every day or after class and things like that, so you can get that relationship that you're trying to build. So how do you build with that, you know, how do you build that relationship with a class size of like 30, 35? And maybe I'm just assuming if your class size is not that.
Yeah, I mean, 30. I have colleagues and people who've had 30, 35. Our school is generally between 20 and 25, which is, they're not small classes, but they're very manageable. So I think that when it comes to being able to have that one-on-one attention, part for me, one of the things that helps me to do that is I teach elementary, and my students are with me for the entire day. So I'm with them and I'm teaching them every subject. They're constantly seeing me. They're working with me almost exclusively. And then when you get into the upper grades in our district anyway, that's where you start moving around from teacher to teacher. So I think one thing that would work across, you know, whether you have a larger class or a smaller class, is to give yourself the time. You may not have all of your students connecting right away. You know, the beginning of the school year is going to take some time for you to get started. So take that time. You know, you may be building a faster relationship with some students. It may come a little more naturally, and you have to put the time in with some other students. So find what they're interested in. Find the time that you do have and put that towards it.
Definitely. I love that. I love that answer. I really, really do. But we do have to wrap up here, but I do have another question before I let you go. How did you actually get linked up or connect with Microsoft for you to get that commercial that came out with Windows?
So a friend of mine on Facebook actually saw that there was an ad for looking for people in different professions who are using technology in an interesting way. And, you know, one of the things they said was educator. So, you know, they just tagged me in it and I sent an email. I got a couple back, a couple Skype interviews later, and I was one of the people that was chosen to do that. So awesome. It came up because of a person that I knew that just happened to see it.
That's a blessing. And that's the power of social media, man. I swear that's the power of social media. And then how did you come up with the concept for your commercial? Did they come up with it for you? Or did you say, you know, this is my vision and this is what I would like for, you know, the people to see?
The great thing about it, I mean, you know, people have been critical about parts of the commercial. I think that, you know, those are the people I spoke about earlier that are just looking for something negative to say. Mm-hmm. But what I really appreciated was that they gave me a lot of freedom. And as much as I can say about it, they were asking me, what things do you do in the classroom? Awesome. And what things, you know, what things would do you think would we would be able to show that you do well in the classroom? So, you know, everything that I had to say came from me. And the things that I was creating, the things that I was putting out there, those were either, you know, my lyrics or my drawings and stuff like that. So, you know, although they had a concept, they really relied on me to show them where it would go.
And that's crazy. I was just about to ask you, you did all those illustrations?
Yes. Yeah, that wow. was, that's something that I went to school for, visual art. And, you know, in my teaching, I just happened to be able to, you know, thankfully get a chance to use that a lot. So that's been great.
Wow. Even the guy, the drawing of the little black boy that was, you did that?
That's one of my characters in the children's book. And, you know, to be able to, representation is so important. So yes. To be able to represent and have us, you know, have people seeing that, you know, not every character has to look the same. It doesn't always have to be little white boys and little white girls. So I was really, you know, encouraged that they were allowing me to do that.
That's dope. That is extreme. That makes me even more excited to be speaking with you. And you dropped some gems about your children's book. Go ahead and let the people know where they can find it, how they can purchase a book, and things of that nature.
Oh, sure. Thank you. I mean, my site has a connection to everything. So www.tonyjackson.com, and it's T-O-N-E-Y Jackson. Everything is through there. You know, I have a podcast that I've been working on. You can find the link there. The children's books are available on Amazon. Yeah, and then, you know, my biggest project right now is getting ready for school. So, yeah, I'm getting set.
Awesome. And what's your podcast about so that people can listen to it?
It's called Making Fun of Teaching. And I talk to educators about different ways that they bring fun or make things fun in the classroom.
So you just keeping it all, and I love it. You're just keeping it all in one circle, bringing it right back 360 degrees. I'm with that one, Tony, definitely. And if you can go and tell the people one more time that website so they can find that information before we let you go, and also your social media if you want to give that out.
Sure thing. The website is Tony Jackson, T-O-N-E-Y Jackson.com. On Instagram, you can find me at Zach Loss. That's the name I used to rhyme under way back in the day. And then on Twitter, it's He Rhymes With Me, at He Rhymes With Me.
Awesome. And before I let you go, Tony, I have one more question. If you can answer this question for me, what is the difference, in your opinion, what is the difference between knowledge and education? Or even if there is a difference.
I love that. I think there definitely is a crossover, but I think education is more of a process. That's the way that it strikes me. Education is a process, and it's something that is continually ongoing. And I believe that knowledge is something that is built up in numerous ways. And it's there's wisdom. It's, you know, when you have wisdom and education, that's what you use to build knowledge. And the knowledge is not just found in a schoolhouse, but you get it from your experience as well. So, you know, I hope that speaks to it.
It definitely did. It definitely built some thoughts in my head for me to keep going and thinking, definitely. But can you give us your Instagram one more time? Someone in the studio said they wasn't able to find it. Could you spell it out for us?
Yes, it's Zach Lost, Z-A-C-H-L-O-S-T.
All right, perfect. And I appreciate you one more time, Tony, for coming on the Revive platform. When I seen you on that commercial, I was like, we have to get him on. And to know that you actually did the illustrations for that commercial makes it even more exciting to be speaking with you, because you're a really great person. And I know you're going to continue to kick down those doors and educate those students in the city of New Jersey. And I know you're going to go on to many different talents and educate the, you know, the college students of New Jersey and things of that nature. So I appreciate it. And is where I can be able to find your link to your podcast on your website as well, right?
Yes, there's one of the tabs says podcast, and right there you'll find Making Fun of Teaching.
Perfect. We're going to actually put that on our timeline as well, so that people can check out your podcast. So I appreciate you once again, Tony, for coming on our platform and supporting us here in Revive. Thank you, and I hope you know you have a great, great, great school year, and you kick down those doors and you instill into those students that they are great and greatness is a choice. And I just want to say thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for what you're doing. I truly appreciate it. I'm going to be supporting 100%.
Definitely. Let's continue to network. Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Be well.
All right, and that wraps up another great interview here on Revive, man. I was excited to be talking to Tony, but to know that he was even, you know, making the illustrations for that commercial. If you guys have not seen that commercial, I don't know what you guys are doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you guys really out there doing? Because that commercial right there for Microsoft and Windows, it took me to a whole nother level. It made me think, you know, in so many different ways. And then to know that he drew those pictures, oh my gosh. If you look at the commercials and you look at the illustration that's on that commercial, you're going to be shocked. You're going to be calling him, be like, yo, can you do my next flyer? Because he can draw. He can definitely draw. And then I cannot wait to see what that children's book. I gotta add that to my library. I definitely gotta add that to my library. So definitely stay tuned to Revive Timeline. Also, we are going live tomorrow, September 4th. We are going live on Daily Ground Radio. Daily Ground Radio tomorrow, starting at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We will be on the airwaves on Daily Ground Radio. So make sure you guys stay tuned to the Revive platform. Tomorrow's show is gonna be fun and exciting. We're gonna have fun with that one. We're going to be live on both Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So make sure you guys stay tuned. The Revive platform is finally getting an Instagram. Thank you to Tyler Evinia. She's going to hook us up with a Instagram. So make sure you guys stay tuned to the Revive timeline on both Facebook and Twitter so you guys can follow that Instagram page. And also so you can get that link so you can listen to the Daily Grind show that we're going to be doing tomorrow. Revive is alive, people. Stay tuned and subscribe to that Revive newsletter that Harmony the Goddess put together each and every month. She'll be dropping the September edition of the newsletter this week. So make sure you guys stay tuned to the Revive timeline and subscribe. You don't want to miss it. You do not want to miss it. Also, tomorrow we'll be having Tyler Evinia with her first segment of What the Fact. And I know you guys do not want to miss the facts that she'll be dropping on the airwaves when she get on tomorrow. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC. I'll be back live tomorrow on Dead the Ground Radio, man. I'm